Thanks for joining us on this week's Real Life Church podcast. We'd love to know if God is using this ministry to bless you in some way. And if you'd like to share your story or know more about getting involved at Real Life Church, you can visit us on our website at livereallife.com today.
Today called Storyline. We've been going over different parables of Jesus and talking through how Jesus used stories and parable. Parables were stories that he was using to communicate a spiritual truth. And we've been through two of them. I'm excited about today. And I just want to read this to you again from Warren Wiersbe. It says this: parables start off like pictures, then become mirrors, and then become windows. First, there's sight as we see a slice of life like a picture. Then there's insight as we see ourselves in the mirror. And then there is vision as we look through the window of revelation and see the Lord. Today, we're going to tackle one of the parables that I love. It's very short, but it's in two places. And we're going to look at the mustard seed today. We're going to look at faith. It was very, none of what just happened with worship was a plan. I didn't call Caleb and say, hey, I'm talking about faith. But just the progression of the songs leading us into this moment where God's word just really begins to solidify what faith looks like. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Faith is not about you getting something. Okay, Pastor, it's going to be a good morning. You were shouting earlier. Now we're here. Now we're here. Now I'm in your face. Amen. Faith is not about just getting something. You know, it's not a magic wand where you just kind of, oh, God, give me whatever I want. No, faith is about a relationship with Christ. And when you have a relationship with Christ, faith is built. The word faith comes from the word, it's the word pistis, and it's the word firm persuasion, that I am fully persuaded that what God said in his word he would do, he would do. Now, I'm not talking about a concept. I'm talking about a heart belief. I'm talking about a rock. I'm talking about a foundation. I'm talking about a firm persuasion that this is what God said he would do. Now, how is faith built? Faith's built by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the more you spend time in the word, the more you'll have the faith of God. The more you'll be able to walk in the faith. But the reason I love the mustard seed story is there's hope for all of us. Look at your neighbor and say, there's hope for you. Look at your second neighbor, which was your second choice. But dear God, you need some hope. Come on, somebody. Come on, you need a little hope in your life. But there's hope for us because Jesus is comparing something very small. It's the smallest of seeds. And a lot of times we think, well, we need this magnitude of faith and we need to have this big grando faith. And no, it's just a mustard seed of what Jesus begins to share with us. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32, and we're going to look at two passages. Verse 31 says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And remember week one, we talked about parables. Jesus translates what the kingdom of heaven is supposed to look like through parables or through stories. The people could relate to what he was talking about. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He says, though it's small, though it's little, though it's, yet when it grows, our faith is to grow. It starts at this mustard seed level. Another passage in Matthew 17, verse 20 says, he replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, now this is what I love about this, because sometimes we take this as drug. We take this as, oh, well, I don't have a lot of faith. Well, God's not going to do nothing for me because I don't have a lot of faith. No, listen to what he's saying. He's not trying to condemn you. He's not trying to say, oh, because you have little faith. Oh, you little faith, you can't do this. Notice what he says. He says, because you have little faith, or if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. So get it out of your head that you just have to have this grando kind of faith. The Bible tells us right here. He says, because you have so little faith, or the reason you have little faith, okay, you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and he compares a mustard seed, which is tiny, 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 to a mountain. He says, you can take a mustard seed faith and speak to a mountain, and he goes on to say, it will move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Come on, somebody. See, mustard seed faith, I believe, is dynamic faith. I believe it's something that we miss. And so The mustard seed, listen, would have been a common enough plant for the folks of the day to understand the culture. The culture of the day would understand what a mustard seed is. And they would be able to picture this mustard seed without reference. And so Jesus uses this picture of a mustard seed, very small in comparison to a mountain. That's the power of faith. He's trying to communicate to us, it doesn't matter how big your mountain is. Focus on your faith. Don't focus on your mountain, focus on your faith. Your faith is the firm persuasion of what God says. And if you just have one scripture to hang on to, you got some mustard seed kind of faith. And that mustard seed kind of faith will tell this problem and this situation, go from here to there. You will speak to the mountain and it will be removed. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. If you keep reading, Mark 23:22 says, have faith in God. And he says in Mark 11:23, he says, if you have faith in God, if you believe in your heart, then you can say with your mouth, if you believe those things, which you say, I'm gonna get this right in just a minute, praise the Lord, praise God, you try this. Amen. You believe in your heart, you can say, praise God, I wanna use Romans, but that's not the right verse. Speak to the mountain for the love of God. That's what we're gonna say today, Mark 11. Come on, that's all you need today. I will tell you, Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. And he tells you what the God kind of faith looks like, is that you'll speak to the mountain and it will be removed. Amen. That's mustard kind of faith. And so I want you to write this down. Faith is a belief in something that has a corresponding action that brings a change. Faith is a belief in something that has a corresponding action that brings a change. Now, what I want you to understand today, again, I said, faith is not a magic wand. A lot of times we think we can just have faith and we can sit in our lazy boy, eat our Doritos and Diet Coke and expect God to do some things in our life. That's not how it works. Faith has to have a corresponding action, right? He told them, listen, hey, you got this debt. Now go down to the creek. There's going to be a fish down there. He's going to have a coin in it so you can pay your taxes. Come on, somebody. How many's going fishing tomorrow? See, faith demands a corresponding action. It cannot just be, oh, I have faith. No, your faith is known or displayed by your action. You know, the best illustration I can give you about faith in action is a bicycle. And there's three potential tragedies that can happen with a bicycle. How many know a flat tire is a bad thing? You'd be out there in the middle, you know, you're running, you're riding your bike, all of a sudden you got a flat tire, it's frustrating, and that can be a problem. The chain can fall off. Anybody else have that? You know, you're riding your bike in the chain. Back in the day, I used to ride BMX bikes back in the day. Watch out now. You didn't know I did that, did you? Well, I used to get on my mongoose. Hallelujah. I had my little pegs on each end. I'd do little tricks on them and stuff like that. Did a lot of accident. Brain damage right here. Here it is. Explains a lot, doesn't it? Okay. So chain can fall off and you know you got to try to fix it. And then there's the loss of a pedal. You ever been one-footed on a bike? Trying to go somewhere, but you can't really go. It's just one pedal and you're like, oh, I might dance. What up? What, you know, one pedal and you're trying to go somewhere and you got one pedal. Well, listen, why? Because the bicycle was never designed just to be ridden with one pedal. And we live our life this way. We think faith is the only pedal. God wants us to understand faith requires a corresponding action that brings balance to your life, that gets your bike going in the right direction, that gets your life going in the right direction. It's not just faith. Oh, I'm going to build my faith. I'm going to build my faith. I'm going to listen to another sermon, listen to another podcast. No, we're so spiritually fat. We've listened to so many messages. We got so many notebooks. Man, and we just keep pedaling with that one foot, and we just, give me more, God, give me more. And God's like, would you please use the other pedal and do something? Come on, somebody. Well, my life is stuck. It's hard. My life is stuck. It's hard. I keep going in the wrong right and left. I can't seem to get it straight. It's because you don't have a corresponding action with your faith. And so your life is not going in the direction that God has for you. So faith is a belief in something that has corresponding action that brings the change. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit about the lifestyles of faith, because you can find these in the scripture about the lifestyles of faith. There's three types of lifestyles that you see. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says it this way, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test. I love God's test because he lets you retake them. Come on. I didn't do well. I wasn't a test taker in high school, college. No, forget the test thing. The Scantrons. Do they still do Scantrons in school? Here's the youth section. You guys still do Scantrons? I got a trick for you. If you don't want to study, are your parents here? I'm just kidding. Please study. But I did CD, CD, CD all the way down the Scantron. C every time. Bang. That's how I passed school. I'm your pastor. What's up? Please study so I don't have to hear this crew over here. I don't want to get no email, some text message. Man, pastor said CD, CD, just do CD. Praise the Lord. No. So there's three types of lifestyle when it comes to faith. The first is faith that is dead. Faith that is dead. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Again, it demands a corresponding action. Faith does. How does this show up? It shows up in lip service, not lifestyle. See, dead faith is lip service, not life. I'm believing God, man. That'd be like me saying up here, I'm believing God to be 160. Praise God, that's never going to happen. I'm believing God. I'm just believing God. And then I go out and my corresponding action. Come on, you know it's coming, right? I'm about to say it. Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A. I had one of the kids this morning. One of the students said to me, we drove by Chick-fil-A and there was an ambulance out front. And we thought, Pastor Jason, over 8. What the heck is wrong with you people? What's wrong with you people? Stupid kids. How dare you say that? How many know lip service, come on, is different than lifestyle? Now listen, fellas, I'm gonna give you a key, right? Fellas in the room, all the fellas, married, got your girlfriend, something like that. Look, y'all can't live on flowers and chocolate that you gave her 3 years ago. Here's what I mean by that. You can't lean into that like when you get yourself in trouble, come on somebody, and you say, well, baby, don't you remember them chocolates and them flowers I gave you 3 years ago? She's going to be like, you better go and do something. I don't remember them chocolates. Why? Because it's just lip service, right? It's not just a moment. It's not a lifestyle for you, right? You did it in a moment. That's great, but there has to be a lifestyle. In other words, dead faith is lip service versus lifestyle. There's leaves, not fruit. In other words, leaves is this. It's your church face. Leaves is church face. You raise your hands. Come on, you wave them side to side. Come on, you got your church face on. You know, you come to church and you raise your hands and you know when to say amen. You know when to do the dance. You know when to shout. You know all that. You do church really well, right? You know how to do that. You've been programmed. But Matthew chapter 7 says that a good tree bears good fruit. So if you just have leaves, praise the Lord, everybody. This is leaves. It's just church face. How you doing today, brother? I'm doing wonderful. I'm blessed and highly favored, right? You just have this demeanor about you. Listen, what I want you to understand today, that's dead faith. Faith can be seen in a corresponding action that produces fruit, right? You want to be blessed financially, right? Let's just use money for just a minute. You want to be blessed financially, but you don't want to give. Like those two things don't go together, right? The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, right? So it can't just be lip service. It has to be lifestyle. It has to be fruit, not just leaves. Second type of faith is faith that is deceived. And it's sad to say that people live in this place all the time in our culture. There's a deception of faith. Listen to me. Here's what I want to get straight right now. We don't worship faith. People worship faith. Well, I'm a man of faith. I'm not worship faith. No, we don't worship faith. We don't worship faith. We don't worship the message of faith. We worship Jesus. Jesus is the point. Right? And so if your faith and your corresponding action is not making him famous, you're off. Right? So we have to understand that faith can be deceptive. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. What? Listen to what he said. Well, you know, I believe in God, right? But the deception is that you're the only one that does. Right? Demons believe that there's a God. And we live in this place of deception. Here's what this means is knowledge with no change. When you're deceived in your faith, it's knowledge with no change because there's no corresponding action. It means that there's no love for Jesus. Your faith, listen to me, your faith is deceived if you're mean as a snake to people. Right? If you're mean as a snake to people, right? You're mean to them, you know, text message, I'm going to tell them a piece of my mind. Come on, man, keep yourself together. Right? Nobody wants a piece of your mind anyway. It's corrupt. Right? No, I'm going to tell them all about it. No, you don't need to tell them nothing. You need to get in your prayer closet and fix yourself. No love for Jesus. Right? Faith that is deceived is rebellion with no repentance. Right? And this whole doctrine of once saved, always saved, and I'm going to mess some of you up today if that's okay. All right, I'm going to mess you up. Praise the Lord. This is the talkative side. This is the thinking side. This is a crazy middle. Come on. Once saved, always saved. Bible says you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Right? You can't live a rebellious lifestyle and expect to end up in the pearly gates of heaven one day. It just doesn't work that way. God's not a crutch so you can live in disobedience. I'm going to live in disobedience my whole life, and I'm going to live in rebellion. And then at the end of the day, God's going to accept me. No, he's not. That's not how it works. He said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. What's iniquity? Sin, the bent place, the places in your life where you have a tendency to go to. That's a deception. That is a deception theology. And it causes us in our life to live, well, I'm just going to be, God's going to protect me. Yeah, I get that, but you got to have a corresponding action to your faith, and it's called repentance. The Bible says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? A deceptive kind of faith means repentance is I can just repent and ask God to forgive me, and he can forgive me. Forgiveness and repentance are two different things. Forgiveness is the initial thing that happens with salvation. Right, Bible also says if if you sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sin. Right, but there's also another side to that that we have to understand. There's a transformation side. And forgiveness is way different than transformation. Forgiveness is way different than allowing God to do that amazing work in your heart. See, God, repentance is this, it's to change your mind. Forgiveness is about your sin, repentance is about you. Repentance is, I'm going to change my mind and go a different direction. Well, if you're deceived in your faith, you're not going to change. You're going to live in that place of rebellion with no repentance. Now, the last type of faith is faith that is dynamic, right? You got the deceived kind of faith and you got the dead kind of faith, but then there's dynamic faith. James 2:22 says, you see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. I believe mustard seed kind of faith is dynamic faith. It says that his actions and his faith were working together. Again, faith is not believing in spite of evidence. Faith is obeying in spite of consequence. Well, let me say it again to you. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. Faith is obeying in spite of consequence. Faith is that thing that we have to understand. Faith is that thing that needs that corresponding action in our life. So what is dynamic faith? What does mustard faith look like? I'm going to give you three simple things of what mustard faith looks like. What does dynamic mustard faith look like? Number one, dynamic faith steps out. Dynamic faith steps out, or mustard seed faith steps out. James chapter 2, verse 21 says, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? See, he was believing, him and Sarah were believing for miracles to happen in their life. And they wanted kids. Well, they tried to do it on their own and had Ishmael. And then God finally gave them their promised son. And he tells them in the book of Genesis, he gives them Isaac. And he said, I want you to go to Mount Moriah and I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. Well, that we know that wasn't his only son. Ishmael was his son as well. Don't you thank God that he forgives us of our Ishmaels, our mess ups, our mistakes, right? He didn't even remember Ishmael. He just said, your only son is the promised son and his name's Isaac. And I want you to take him up to Mount Moriah and I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham had to step out and believe. Abraham had to step out in that moment and go to that place that God commanded, and God provided for him. He went all the way in obedience to the point to where his son, they said his son was a teenager. You try to do this. You try to strap your teenager to a fire and see if it works, right? They bound him up, but on the way up the hill, his son asked him, hey, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, hey, God's going to provide a sacrifice for us. You're it. No, I'm just kidding. He got to the point, though, where he was getting ready to drive the knife through his chest, and all of a sudden, over in the thicket, there was a ram over in the thicket, and God provided a sacrifice for him. Why? What was God doing? Abraham was stepping out in faith. He told him, he said, you'll be the father of many nations. And so he said, go to a land that I'll show you. Now, how many would do that? Like, that's how you plan your vacation with your wife and your family. You're just like, you know what? We'll just go wherever God shows us. Come on, somebody. How many know that's not going to work out well? Right? Now, Abraham, though, that's how God dealt with him. He said, man, I'm going to show you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And Abraham began the journey. He left everything behind and began the journey. The woman with the issue of blood, who was considered an outcast among society, she had to step out among the crowd. That's mustard seed faith. Blind Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road. Man, when everybody was telling him to shut up, he just got louder. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, 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 the master's busy. He said, no, no, Son of David, have mercy on me. It got Jesus's attention. In other words, mustard seed faith gets Jesus's attention. It's dynamic faith that gets his attention. So whatever you're believing for, you need to push into the corresponding action, whatever that may be. Let me know if he just sat there. Jesus told him to come to him. That was so interesting. He said, come to me. I love that verse. What was he saying? You have faith with your mouth, but I need faith with your action. So he said, I want you to come to me. And the Bible says that blind Bartimaeus took off his beggar's garment and came to Jesus. Why? That was the corresponding action. What happened to blind Bartimaeus? He began able to see, right? It's not just faith, one side of the bicycle. It's two sides that respond with a corresponding action. So what's the next step you need to take today? What's the next step? Some of you have been pedaling hard. What's the corresponding action that you need to do? Some of you, it's really simple. You need to serve. You need to go to a group. Some of you need to let go and forgive. Come on, man. You've been traveling this faith road trying to get things to work, but you got a broken pedal because you won't forgive. You need to forgive and let those things go. That's the corresponding action. Just, it's a place of forgiveness. You need to share your story. Some of you, you're just faith, 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 and your corresponding action is, I need to share my story. Why? It steps out. You need to step out in faith. The second thing mustard seed faith does is it speaks out. It speaks out. Now, I don't mean obnoxious and rude and crazy, stand on the corner and pick at somebody. Bible says this in James 2:25 in reference to this verse is the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. Joshua 2:9, if you go back to Joshua 2:9 before this passage with Rahab as she hid the spies, Joshua and Caleb, it says, and I know that the Lord has given you this land. This is Rahab speaking. And that for great fear of you has fallen on us. In other words, Rahab took a risk. She spoke out. Rahab. Praise God. Rahab went to rehab. Amen. That's a good message. Praise the Lord. Write that down, somebody. Rahab took a risk by speaking out verbally that she was going along with them. Matthew 17:20 says this, because you have little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Listen, some of you need to change what you're saying about yourself. Some of you need to change what you're saying about the circumstance. Faith has a voice, but so does unbelief. You need to start saying what God says about you. No, you're not going under. You're a child of the King. You're going over. The Bible says you're the head and not the tail. You're going over and not under, church. Man, your body might be reeking with sickness. Listen, start saying what God says, not just how you feel, but what God says. God says, by his stripes, you were healed. Right? That's your course. You got to start to line your mouth up with what you want to see happen in your life. Well, I get up, I'm depressed. I'm lonely as all get out. Get up and say, I'm no longer depressed. I'm connected. I have friendships and relationships that's going to take me through this life. Come on, somebody. You got to start changing the way you talk. Dynamic faith has a voice. And then number three, dynamic faith works out. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, work out. Faith is a process. Faith is a process. Faith is a process. There's a process of a seed. A seed has to go into the ground. It has to die. Then it has to be watered. And there has to be wind. And earth. There's a big process that takes place in order to create a tree. And you put the seed in the ground. There's a process that seed goes into. Listen, we got to work it out. What do I mean by that? We got to stick it out. Not work it out means we got to be committed, right? Not just when God doesn't supersize your fry when you want it. In other words, this drive-through kind of faith, well, I'm just going to drive through and get whatever I want. Absolutely not. It's a process. Where we started 12 years ago, almost 13, The faith process started when I was on a 40-day fast in 2011, and I got to 73 and 741. I didn't go looking to do this. What I went was just, God, what do you want? I want to go where you're blessing. So he took me to 73 and 741 at the end of a 40-day fast, and he spoke to me Isaiah 43:19. He said, behold, I'll do a new thing. It shall spring forth, and it will spring forth out of Springboro. It will start in Springboro, but will not be contained to Springboro. We're touching churches all over the world right now, guys, through Church Boom. We got a church in Washington right now that was about ready to close its doors. And because of you and because of coaching and helping these churches, listen to me today, they had over 200 something people last weekend. And he said, listen, I don't know what I'm going to do with this space. Listen to me today. Why? Because faith works. Like when I was there at that, I didn't know what this thing's going to look like. Or I'm still trying to figure it out. And he's like, okay, go start at the school. Okay, we'll go start at the school. And the school says, you have 2 years to be here. Hello, we tricked them. Come on, somebody. You have 2 years to be here. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I looked at 30 different locations before we bought our property in 2016. I met with my overseers. I met with our trustees. And we decided this was the place for us. They signed off on it. We ended up buying the property in 2016. And God just, I don't know, when are we going to put this up? We ain't got the funds to do it. And I'm not going to put us into a position where we can't do ministry as a church. So you got to figure this out, Lord. This is your deal. I'm here. I'm a CD Scantron guy. You got to help me. So he puts great people around you with wisdom. And so I just stay in that place. I just keep growing my faith. I just keep stepping, getting more people. Oh, here's where we're headed. We're going to do this. We're going to blah, blah, blah. And then 21, God says, time to jump. So I was in Louisiana, and the Lord spoke to me and said, call this contractor, call this guy, and do this and do that. And I was in Louisiana at a conference. He said, do this. I did it. And 21, we launched. 22, we jumped. And we're headed in this direction. Now, a couple years later, we're getting ready to walk. Listen, it's faith. It's a process. Right, we always want to start up here. No, faith is a mustard seed that has to be grown and germinated. But listen to me, how many know back in 2011, if I would have just said, oh, I got a word from God, it's going to happen. Yeah, God, you're just going to do it in my life. It's going to be so wonderful. Thank you for Isaiah 43:19, Father. Thank you. 43:19, it's going to spring forth out of Springboro. Praise you. How many know this never happens? God doesn't work that way. It took me going, corresponding action. I need to meet with people over coffee. I need to have dinners. I need to have team meetings. I need to meet with people. I need to find a location. Come on, somebody. How many know there's a corresponding action to this thing? It works out. It is a process. But listen to me. You got to be committed when it doesn't look like it's working out. Faith stays committed. James 2:26 says that the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Philippians 2:12 says, what am I getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. There it is. There's the corresponding action. Responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. He says there's responsive obedience. That's the other side of the pedal, folks. It's not just building our faith. It is making sure that we have corresponding action with that faith. Listen, maybe today, as we've already given opportunity for people to say yes to Christ, maybe to, what is your next step? What is your next step as an individual, as a family? What is your next step? Maybe today it's salvation. Maybe today it's joining a group. Maybe today it's ROC 101. Like, I've been kind of hesitant. What are you hesitating for? You can't just come to church and have your church face on. That's deception. The corresponding action says, I'm going to get involved, right? Corresponding action says, I'm going to get involved. So if you're going to live in that place where dynamic faith is happening, it's got to be worked out. It's got to be spoken out. And you have to step out today. And there's risk in all that, right? We're so prone to pain. We're so prone to hurt. We're so prone that if I take this risk, somebody's gonna hurt me. Or I can't trust, right? Well, listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, I know that's legitimate, but at the end of the day, Jesus is not gonna lead you to a place where he's gonna damage you. Jesus is gonna lead you to a place where he says, I come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. Well, maybe today you're in this room and you say, Pastor Jason, like, At that first altar call, I wasn't ready, but maybe I'm ready now and I want to come back to the Lord. Maybe today you've walked away from God and you want to make him the Lord and Savior. I'm gonna do it twice today. Give you an opportunity twice to say yes to Christ with every head up and every eye open, everybody looking around. Why you do that, Pastor? Because we're a family and we want to celebrate with you. Come on, Bible says that if we deny him before man, he'll deny us before his Father. Come on, but if we confess him before man, he'll confess us before our Father in heaven. Yeah, well, you know, I talked to some pastors recently about this. I'm like, oh, Pastor, isn't that kind of awkward when nobody raises their hand? No, it just lets their church see that we're on mission. We got a job to do. Amen, we got lost people to reach. Amen? So if you're in this place today and you say, Pastor Jason, that's me, man. I want to recommit my life to Christ. I want to come home for the first time. If you're in this place, you say, that's me. My next step in this thing is to say yes to Christ. Just raise up your hand. I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Say, I'm going to give you another opportunity. Anybody at all? Round two. Anybody at all? Praise the Lord. All right. Praise God. So here's what we're going to do, church. I'm going to pray for you. Right? We pray for the harvest. Anytime there's not a hand raised in salvation, which praise the Lord, we had somebody already say yes to Christ today. Isn't that amazing? Come on. But I'm going to pray for you today, and we're going to pray that God continue. We pray for the harvest every time, and we just ask the Lord to do what only he can do, and that's bring people in from the north, south, east, and west. That we'd be bold as a church. We'd be a church that, again, we're not just peddling. We're not just coming to church. We're not living in a deceptive faith. But man, our faith is in action, and there's a corresponding action of loving the lost, loving those that are far from God. Because I really believe that if you're growing your faith, a byproduct is you have a heart for people. People's our purpose around here. So I want you to know today, when you get that happening in your life, all of a sudden, man, God starts to move in your heart and in your life. So let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the presence that you brought during our worship time. Thank you today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is moving in this moment. I thank you, Father, for the person that said yes to you today. I thank you, Lord God, today that you make our church a beacon of light. Thank you, Lord, for the lost coming in from the north, south, east, and west. Thank you, Lord, that you'd make our church a place, Lord God, where people could find hope, where people could find healing, that Lord, we'd be a hospital for the hurting, Lord, not something where we're living in that place of religion, Lord. No, we're coming against those religious things, or we want to live in that place of relationship. So Father, we love you today. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a good hand clap today.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Be sure to connect with us on social media, the RLC app, and online at livereallife.com.